Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Tuesday, May 26th. I'm Sarith Hawk. Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Wilt Chamberlain. These are all basketball players you probably know. But what about their teammates, especially the players who didn't get much time on the court? A new book tells us about the experience from the bench.
What I contend in the book is that everybody who's on a team should be in the mindset of what can I do to help us succeed? And that's harder for bench players to figure out.
Today, a former Fresno State basketball player tells us about how he approached being on the sidelines. That conversation in just a moment.
Explore the history of the people and places of our region with KVPR's Central Valley Roots. I'm the host, Joe Moore. Every new episode, I bring you little-known stories of our region. Find the latest episode of Central Valley Roots wherever you get your podcasts or visit kvpr.org/roots.
And now to our feature story. Imagine being picked to play on one of California's most popular college basketball teams, only to spend almost every game on the bench. That's what happened to former Bulldog Brandon Bakke, whose entire 91-96 season with the Fresno State men's basketball team was as a backup player. His last season under legendary coach Jerry Tarkanian saw the team's meteoric rise to the national stage.
Dan, all you have to do is look at this arena. Sold out. Sold out tonight, sold out the previous round, sold out the round before that, sold out 10 times this year. Jerry Tarkanian has created magic. He has brought basketball back to the Valley.
That was a clip from the 1996 National Invitation Tournament quarterfinals, Nebraska at Fresno State. Brandon recently wrote about Tarkanian's influence on his life and how he came to see his own position off the court during that exciting time as a gift. This is the subject of his new book called Lessons from the Bench. I spoke to Brandon about how he found purpose as a player and how it can apply to other areas of life.
I was a basketball player, high school basketball player in the state of Washington. The Fresno State staff kind of found me, if you will, and just in their regular recruiting process and started to, you know, try to court me to come to the Valley. And I really didn't know much about Fresno. I was from Colorado originally, and I actually was kind of thinking more I was going to land back at like Colorado State or something like that. And then they got me on a plane. I came down here, and it took about maybe 4 hours for me to go, this is where I want to be. At the time, this is, you know, a few years ago now, early 90s, There was nothing bigger than Fresno State basketball in this community. And I really saw an opportunity to have an impact. Just that was my goal, really, to really be able to impact a city. So that's what drove me down here.
Sure. So you were really impressed with the program here.
I was, certainly I really appreciated the coaching staff. But at the time, we led California in attendance. Like, it was a big deal. And it's really fun to play at a place where it's a big deal.
Yeah.
And it certainly checked every dream box I had for what college basketball should look like and feel like. So, yeah, I was the red wave, as we call it, Just really captured my heart immediately.
And just so I know, the years that you were on the team were in 90...
91 to 96. I played for Gary Colson, but most famously, my senior year, Jerry Tarkanian came to town. And much of my book chronicles a little bit of that relationship And that experience that I was fortunate to have.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up because Jerry Tarkanian was, you know, we still know his name here in Fresno. He was a legendary coach, but also a very controversial figure at Fresno State. And just to give our listeners some background, Tarkanian was known for his sort of ongoing clashes with the NCAA. Under his tenure at Fresno State, the team was the subject of several investigations over rules violations and even accusations of point shaving. So I'm just curious, because you were working under him for a little bit, what was he like as a coach? What did you learn from him?
The stereotypes that I had about Coach Tarkanian before he got here were in many, many cases, wrong. I was not a star. That's the whole point of the book. I was a bench player who my perception would be that he wouldn't have a real big, you know, value for me. He was about the stars. And certainly he loved really good basketball players. But what I learned about Coach Tark is he really valued everybody. He told me once, he said, he was giving me advice as I was getting ready to become the head coach of Clovis High School after I was wrapping up my college career. He said, Brandon, I want you to always remember and find what players are and not what they're not. People don't know that about Coach Tark. You mentioned a lot of things that we hear about Coach Tarkanian. I wanted to tell a behind the scenes story a little bit about what people don't know. And that's that he believed in people. He gave me opportunities that you wouldn't think I would get being a backup guy. So yeah, I'm very much indebted to him and I learned a ton.
Yeah, and you said he valued who people are. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, if you looked at me, I was a flawed basketball player. I'm not the tallest guy. I'm not the fastest guy. I'm not the biggest, highest jumper. But what he wanted to do was find what I was, what I can bring to the team. What traits do I possess that might help us be successful? What I contend in the book is that everybody who's on a team should be in the mindset of what can I do to help us succeed? And that's harder for bench players to figure out. It's easy when you're the big scorer, you know, the one whose name gets announced. That's obvious. But those role players, those bench players, and all of us have been bench players in our life, most of us, and whether it's in work or even our families in every capacity. And so I wanted to make sure that I had to carve that out and find an opportunity. He helped provide that for me and teach me a lot about what that means.
Sure. So you have this book out. It's called Lessons from the Bench. We often don't hear about that perspective of a bench player. You talked a little bit about the inspiration. What do you think is most commonly misunderstood?
The inspiration for this book happened in a parent meeting I was having with one of my students. I was a principal at a high school, and a family was really upset because their son was not getting to play a whole lot. And the dad said to me during this meeting, he said, Mr. Bakke, with all due respect, my son does not matter if he's not playing. Like, it's inconsequential. It's irrelevant. And I just remember thinking, are you telling me that I was irrelevant and I didn't matter during my college career? That's what was in my mind. And yet I understood where they were coming from because my first 2 years at Fresno State, I mentally really struggled. I was confronted by our athletic trainer, a gentleman named Ed Ferrero, who passed away a few years ago, who all the athletes at Fresno would know. And he said, you know, Brandon, I thought you were more about the team. And I wanted to be about the team. Mm-hmm. But he put a mirror in front of my face and really showed me that I was being really selfish. And when I was able to get over that, I call it me-ism. When I was able to get over me-ism, it opened up myself to the next question, which is how can I now help us win in this supporting role? And so that's really what the book is about, is tools on how you can help teams succeed in when you're not the star.
And I'm curious, how long did it take you to get to that point? You were on the team, that revelation. Did it take a long time?
Yeah, I wish I had a book about how to overcome me-ism. You know, and by me-ism, I mean like the disease of me, the me over we. It's not something I invented by any means, but I call it me-ism. I wish I knew how to coach people out of that. I think our society is plagued with it more than ever. You know, it's about me. I think YouTube should be called MeTube, right? That's what we celebrate. Yeah. And so it's a very difficult thing to overcome. And I just had an awakening. And it's the catalyst was Ed and him talking to me. But then over a course of a couple of weeks, and I write about it in depth in the book, I realized what was going on. And from then on, it was when I realized the team needed to come first. It was a process then at that point for me to realize how I could help.
In your book, you outline 9 of these what we call bench lessons. You say they're things that you took away from your time as a bench player. So we'll just talk about a couple. You mentioned me-ism, defeat me-ism. That's the first step. Do you think that this is harder now in this era right now where there's social media, where there's, you know, so much digital content?
Yeah, from the lens of college basketball, it's harder now than ever because Now you can transfer in a year. You can leave. They sign NIL agreements. Like, players get paid now. So it's every year they're trying to find more dollars. And it's very scary to me, because so much of what I learned from my experience on the bench came from, I call it the gift of the bench, which is really adversity. I had to learn to overcome the challenge. In life, I think we're the most proud of the things that are the most difficult to overcome. And that's the gift of the bench. It's grit training, it's perseverance training, things that younger generations are having a hard time coping with. We have a mental health crisis, and some of that is related to that. So I'm very concerned about the landscape in the world right now, which is why I think hopefully my message is even more important than ever.
Were there any other bench lessons that you thought, you know, really stood out to you when you were writing this?
Yeah, I think the biggest one I caught, you need to play with purpose. And it really relates back to my time in Fresno. When I got here, my father sat me down, I have a great dad, and he's like, look, you got to identify your purpose for being on this team in Fresno, California. And it's got to be bigger than those extrinsic things, because they might not be there. And we identified that I really wanted, and I say we because he and I like worked through this together. My purpose was to be an encouragement to my teammates, to help people in the athletic department, but really the community of Fresno. And that really sustained me through some times where maybe my role on the team wasn't what I wanted to be. I saw a bigger purpose for being a part of what we were doing. That's my biggest advice for people. I see kids quit all the time, their teams, and the number one reason that they provide is that they're not having fun. And I tell them, you know what? Sports often isn't fun. Running through the vineyards of Fresno in 100 degree, you know, heat is not fun.
I wonder if they still do that.
Yeah, you're right. Missing shots, letting the team down with a bad play, that's not fun. Mm-hmm. And so we got to have a different reason for being a part of it that's hopefully greater than oneself.
And what I thought was interesting is that, you know, for each of these bench lessons, you eventually do have some reflection questions that are related. How are you hoping players or even non-athletes will use your book?
Yeah, well, my day job is being a high school principal. So the lessons part is kind of a nod to my career, what I've committed my life to doing, which is education. I provided reflection questions for, really, it can be used as a tool for coaches, but also for the reader to really look at themselves and whatever team context they may be in, to help them really ask the tough questions that I was asking myself. Because really, it was that Ed kind of prodding me with some difficult questions that led to my, you know, you asked like, how can you crack me-ism? I'm hoping maybe this book is the Ed Ferreira for other people who are having a hard time getting through it. So yeah, I appreciate you mentioning the reflection questions. I'm curious to find out how people, you know, interact with those.
Brandon Bakke, author of the new book, Lessons from the Bench. Thanks for joining me in the studio.
Hey, thanks so much. Good to be back home.
And that's today's show. Enjoy listening to Central Valley Daily. You can support the podcast by leaving a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. And thank you for your support. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Sarith Hawk. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
You know, every day on Up First, NPR's Golden Globe-nominated morning news podcast, we bring you three essential stories. At the heart of each story are questions. What really happened? What really mattered? What happens next? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious and to follow the facts. Follow Up First wherever you get your podcasts and start your day knowing what matters and why.